All your favorite CBC podcasts are now available on YouTube. The best in award-winning true crime investigations, hilarious comedies, vibrant pop culture conversations, and even more audio series are all available on CBC Podcast's YouTube channel. You'll also find exclusive video first episodes, YouTube shorts, and behind-the-scenes content from our hosts and producers that you can't find anywhere else. So if YouTube is your go-to source for podcasts, just search CBC Podcasts and hit subscribe, and you'll never miss the latest update.
This is a CBC podcast.
Hi, Mark here. We have a special bonus episode we want to share with you today from another CBC podcast that we think you'll really like. Every day, Commotion with Elamine Abdelmahmoud brings you the most urgent, joyful, captivating discussions in all of arts, pop culture, and entertainment. In this episode, Elamine and expert horror fans discuss the staying power of The Exorcist and get into the reasons why we love to be scared at the movies. Have a listen.
Okay, so cards on the table. I'm not convinced that anyone needed to make a sequel to The Exorcist. Having said that, it is not a surprise to me that The Exorcist Believer beat everything else at the box office. Today on the podcast, why audiences still can't get enough of The Exorcist. I'm Elamine Abdelmahmoud. This is Commotion. Okay, I'll admit, when I hear this, my spine does tingle.
Somewhere between science and superstition, there is another world. The world of darkness. The one hope. The only hope. The Exorcist.
That's not comforting at all. It's been 50 years since the original Exorcist came out, and now there's a new Exorcist movie in theaters that's in theaters right now. Look, the reviews are terrible. Okay? But it still got number one at the box office this past weekend. Matt Hart saw it. Jen Sukfon Lee saw it. They're both massive horror fans, and they've seen this new Exorcist. Matt, Jen, welcome to the group chat. What's good, everybody?
Nothing, man. Just reeling after the Exorcist by name alone sequel here.
Jen, what about you? Is that the vibe too?
I mean, that little audio clip, that one just sent me right back. I love it. I love it.
I do feel like before we even get into talking about the Exorcist Believer, we kind of maybe need to define our terms, because there are people who love scary movies and there are people who I will professionally call wimps.
Yes.
And I am among the wimps.
Yeah.
I'm proudly among the wimps. Some people just like don't get horror. They go like, I don't, what is a good horror movie? I don't understand because I don't engage with it. Matt, you're a fan of the genre.
Yes.
What makes for a good horror movie?
Well, I mean, it can be a lot of things. For me, it's something that leaves me unsettled. I don't like to feel dirty.
Oh, good. Okay.
I don't like to feel dirty, like a shower after it. You know, there's that kind of like the torture-y stuff. I don't really go for that.
Yeah.
But I do genuinely like to feel something afterwards. And a good movie makes you feel something, whether that's like a comedy makes you laugh like crazy.
Yeah.
Horror makes you scared, whatever. You should feel something at the end of it.
Yeah.
And I think that's a successful horror movie is something that makes you feel like, oh, I shouldn't have seen that. I shouldn't have done that. What am I doing here? What am I doing with my life?
Jen, part of the reason that I don't see horror movies is that when a horror movie is good, I don't sleep for several days. Like, and I just kind of go, okay, there goes my sleep. That is, I'm not going to be able to get to bed. What makes a good horror movie for you?
My favorite kinds of horror movies are the ones that take things that we're very comfortable with, very familiar with, things that we might hold very dear to our hearts, and makes them super creepy crawly and messes us up. That's my favorite thing. So like, if you like babies, it does something weird with babies, whatever it is.
What's the new one? There's a Slaughterhouse, a sloth?
Sorry?
There's a movie called Slaughterhouse that just came out about a sloth that's on a rampage. So,
like a sloth.
Like a sloth.
Everyone loves
like the animal.
Sloths.
Yeah.
Like I would never root against a sloth. You can't convince me that, okay, wow.
Oh, this sloth, he's a real cinema. I'll tell you what.
Okay, I'm never going to watch Slaughterhouse. I'm out on that one.
Me too.
Okay, now that we got that out of the way, I just want to play a clip from the new Exorcist movie. It features Ellen Burstyn, who played the mom in the original.
Exorcism is a ritual. Every culture, every religion, they all use different methods. It's going to take all of them.
Scared.
We've met before.
Mother. no. It's a no from me. just based on that alone. Matt, what do you think? How does the new Exorcist compare with the original?
Well, it will be on the title of my invoice that I send over to you for the screening procedure.
Yikes.
Okay. Yeah, no, it was not great. I was just personally, it didn't really do it for me.
Okay.
And the reason why this is because I think The Exorcist, the original, wasn't scary to me until I became older. Because in this era of like these classic horror movies, The Omen, I would say even Pet Sematary, you're looking at movies that when you were young, you couldn't really deal with these huge decisions these people were making. Like The Exorcist, you're seeing Regan turn from this angelic kid into this literal bile-spewing demon.
Cool.
And you're
love
you're,
that
you're,
you love that.
Anyway, well, no, continue. You're watching the parent because, you know, yeah. I've got kids and I watch and I think, you know, seeing your kid in medical distress where they have the spinal tap she has to go through. And that's a lot of the horror in it, is watching someone transform for the worse.
Yeah.
Or the one priest who's fighting with his own mother's own dementia. Mm. So you're watching as a kid these huge, huge adult problems and you've never been trained to deal with this stuff. So you're like, seeing an adult in peril is almost the same as now when we're adults and we see children in peril, where we're empathetic to that. It's very distressing, yeah. But I mean, you can do it under the kind of like, you know, cotton swabs around you of it being a movie.
Right. I, the whole time that you're watching a movie, you're like, there's someone out there with a boom mic.
Exactly. That is
it's like a comforting thought.
There's a best boy in the room. I know that.
this is my comfort tool, is like every time that I'm scared in a movie, I go like, someone is yelling cut right after
this.
I don't know who it is, but they're just off in the corner and this is just a silly little room. Jen, for you, how does a new Exorcist compare to the original?
Honestly, I found it a bit boring, which is
okay. All right.
It did not do anything unexpected. If you've seen the first Exorcist, which most of us have, this one is kind of just trading on the same stuff. But the difference is that I think what made the original Exorcist so horrifying to people was having a young girl, a child possessed and doing and saying things that are really disgusting and very adult and very horrible. In this version, the girls don't really do that. I think maybe they made that decision so the actors aren't traumatized, which fair. I don't want actors to be traumatized, but that is completely sort of taken out of this particular version of The Exorcist. The girls, there's maybe a whisper of something gross and adult, but not really. I mean, Linda Blair had to go through some things. These ones don't. So I was like upset.
The subtext of what you're saying here is like, if you don't traumatize the children on set, are you making a horror movie?
Is it real?
Well, listen. We have CGI now. Other things can be done.
But I mean, I would agree with you here that we didn't really care what happened to them, because with Regan in the first one, we cared because we're watching this child slowly kind of deteriorate, and we watch her go from such a good kid to just saying the most unbelievable stuff. And you're like, she can't say anything worse than that. And you're like, well, there it is. You know what I mean?
Wow. She does.
Oh yeah, over and over.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, I'm interested in this because, you know, not to, you know, be all the power of IP compels you about this, but there's something about the Exorcist brand that makes it seem like if you're making a movie in that lineage, a sequel, you've got Ellen Burstyn in this.
Yeah.
This is an open net, right? Like, this is like you can score quite easily because you're treading on a legacy.
Yeah.
And the legacy is already going to bring so many people to the theater. So what is it about this movie that you think fails so hard in terms of like living up to the original? Because it seems like the original set a really high bar.
Yeah, well, you nailed it there. I mean, like, I have no sympathy for this movie. Like, oh, it's got the burden of, you know, living on the shoulders of giants here, where it's actually has a leg up. You print money with that title.
Yeah, people will go see it.
Yeah, and, you know, they pull Ellen Burstyn out every couple minutes, like, remember me? You know what I mean? I was in it, too. They just kind of went, I think, a little too teen, and I don't want to sound like an old man when I say that, but they're trying to introduce new viewers into this franchise, and they're going with the kind of talk to me and the kind of newer style of teen horror, which is fine. There's some great teen horror movies, but in this case, I don't think you can just slap a name on it, make it a placeholder, and then hope that it's going to be a good movie. You still have to make a good movie.
All right, listen, if folks are just joining us, my name is Alamin Abdul Mahmoud. This is Commotion. Today on the podcast, we got Jen Sukhvang Lee here. We got Matt Hart here. And we're talking about The New Exorcist. Jen, it does not sound like we have particularly favorable opinions of this movie. Did you have a sense of really high expectations going into it?
Yeah, of course. I mean, the original Exorcist was the first movie that, well, not the first, but the, one of the ones that scared like the pants off me at like 13 or 14 when I first watched it. So this, sure. I wanted it to really scare me. The trailer was actually quite scary when I watched it before I went to see the movie.
Yeah.
And I was like, just disappointed in the fact that, you know, the original Exorcist came out in 1973. This one is 2023. And so much of, you know, as I said before, good horror is about like taking apart and making weird things that are familiar or comforting to us. And in the first one, that's like religion and like childhood. And in this one, I think they squandered an opportunity. Like, what makes teen girls in 2023 really scary? There are a plethora of things they could have used, from social media to sending nudes to selfies to like body image, that they did not use that would have been in keeping with the theme, but make it much more horrific and scary and, you know, sort of like on brand for what 2023 is, what we find scary today. And they didn't do it. And I think that's a waste.
Right. The idea is like, if you're going to make a horror that is based on sort of the teen horrors, then do that. Yeah. Right. But they didn't
then
quite
go there.
Right. But they didn't quite do that. I will say, Matt, the other thing that the original Exorcist illustrates so well is how much of what makes a movie actually terrifying lives in our brain, right? Like, it's like,
absolutely,
it's like you cast a thing into my brain and I go, oh no, I'm the person that's disturbed. There's some really incredible recent examples of this. There's a relatively new Canadian horror movie. I don't know if you saw Skinamarink or not.
Of course, yes.
Okay, so Skinamarink is so much about what you don't see. I want to play you guys a clip from an interview that the filmmaker, his name is Kyle Edward Ball, he did with my pal Tom Power over on Q.
A lot of it is just implication. So maybe something is around the corner. Maybe something is hiding in the dark. And I wanted it to kind of evoke childhood fears.
I love that idea. I love the idea of wanting to evoke childhood fears and there's something lurking in the dark. Talk to me about this idea of implied horror. Why is it so powerful, man?
Well, I always say, you know, the imagination is the scariest place. It's your body's going to do, or your brain's going to do a lot of the heavy lifting when it comes to things you can't see.
Right.
You think back to, you know, one of my favorites, I always think back to Blair Witch Project.
Yeah.
And our attention spans are shot now because we can scroll around on our phone and we don't, you know, we're not able to sit and just absorb. Like, I do it too. Not judging by any stretch here,
yeah, but
the thing is with that movie, they didn't show anything, and we loved that back then.
Yeah,
and now we seem to Skinamarink. One of the big criticisms was that we don't see anything.
Right,
and you're like, but that's kind of what makes it really scary. It's right. This unknowable evil.
If you're really in it, you're actually like really clued into everything that's not there.
Yeah, sense. And I don't know if you know it, but quickly, it's about, you know, these two kids wake up and all the windows and doors in their house are gone, and their parents are gone.
Which is horrifying.
And he filmed it in his childhood home for $15,000, the director.
I'd love to tell you.
For heaven's sake.
And it's horrifying. Nothing that really happens. It's like taking a bath in a mood.
You know, it's Jen, really... does that make you go like, I want to watch that?
Yeah, I'll probably watch it. Incidentally, I did make my kid watch Blair Witch Project like last week. And he woke me up. He's like, I'm having nightmares. And I'm like, see? I told you it was scary.
You know what? He deserves it. I'm so glad that he's being introduced to, you know, horror movies of previous generations. Then before we wrap, I want to get into the fundamental paradox of horror here. Horror is not a vibe, a mood bath that people want to take quite often. For people who do love it, why is it that we love to be scared? What's going on there?
I honestly think that in the moment when we're being scared, when something actually scary happens in the movie, that part doesn't feel that great. But afterwards, it feels amazing. You're like, I lived through something, even though you did not. And I think that that's like really it. And I also think that there's something about horror that does really like incisive, like cultural commentary too, right? Like if you're looking at, like just talking about the first Exorcist, like it was 1973 when the world was changing rapidly. And all of these things that the world thought were like traditional or were going to stay forever were not. Systems were falling. So the Exorcist took it one step further and said, well, let's take Catholicism apart now. Let's take childhood apart now. And let's explore these spaces where these things are falling apart. So I think that those are the things that we love. We almost, there's a perverse part of our brains that wants to see, like, that wants to burn it all down. And that's what horror movies do for us.
I also love the idea that, you know, The Exorcist was taking concepts like childhood and Catholicism apart, because that's kind of become a trope, right, Matt? Mm-hmm. Like we see that in so many different horror movies,
yeah,
that we're maybe almost too familiar with that conception. But it was sort of groundbreaking when it first came out.
Yeah, and it's just not even just the children in that; it's everyone struggling with their faith in the Exorcist. Both the priests are notoriously conflicted with mm-hmm. taking place in the exorcism, and like the younger, it's escaping me, the younger priest who's dealing with his mother's dementia. It's like a really strong part of the film where he's like, I don't know if I believe in anything anymore.
Oof.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's why that style of movie for me, it's the like, it's the BDSM of films. It's the hot, it's the hot sauce or the like the salt and vinegar of films. You know, you're like, ow, but that's good. Ow.
I was not expecting to hear the phrase, the BDSM of films, this morning on the radio. But you know what? It's live radio, baby. Anything could happen. 30 seconds to each of you. You're going to tell me about the best horror film ever. Matt, I'll start with you.
Oh, ever? I mean, I'm going to go Blair Witch just because I want to be controversial, because a lot of people don't like it and don't think it could exist now. And I agree the marketing couldn't exist now. But that's a great one for your imagination.
Jen's son probably definitely agrees at this point, right? Because yeah. you put him through that, and now here we are. What's the best horror film for you, Jen?
Best horror, the one that I like hold dearest to my heart is the Amityville Horror, the original one.
Oh,
but
sure.
Also, I'm gonna throw a book in there, Flowers in the Attic. I'm sure it doesn't hold up, but I don't care.
That is a fantastic note to leave it on. In the meantime, Matt, Jen, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Anytime.
Of course.
Thank you.
Matt Hart is in Toronto and Jen Sufan Lee is in Burnaby, BC. They're both Commotion regulars and horror fans. Gotta tell you, The Exorcist Believer is playing in select theaters now.
That was a clip from Commotion. You can listen to more episodes right now on the CBC Listen app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.